Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. I'm sorry, I refuse to use that other term. Friday Eve sounds good, and especially if you've got a slightly longer weekend with Labor Day coming up on Monday. A couple of hours from now, you and I will probably tune in to CNN. I know, doesn't happen often, but we will. And we'll see the first sit-down interview with the Vice President, Kamala Harris. But she's going to be joined by the guy who wants to replace her, so it's going to be like a 50-50 thing. I guess he's there for emotional support or whatever it is. But who is she, really? What did she do when she was in office in California? And we need to know these things. We really, really do. Abel Maldonado is somebody that I knew many, many, many years ago when I was out in California. He was a distinguished member of the California State Senate. He was the lieutenant governor of California. And I was right, sadly. He was the last Republican to ever serve as lieutenant governor. I'm happy to say that he's here to give us some insight. Abel, it's been forever. Welcome, my friend.
Jeff, thank you so much for having me on your show. Thank you so much. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been far too long. You know, I think, better than anybody that I have chatted with exactly who the vice president is, what she did in California. You've seen her up close and personal. Do you mind sharing your sense of that and what you expect from her this evening?
You know, Jeff, I know her. I've known her for a while. We're both constitutional office holders here in California. Watched her from Sacramento when she was in the DA's office. And I am actually shocked that people don't know more about Kamala Harris. We keep hearing that in the polling, that they don't know her enough. Well, look at California, look at San Francisco, Jeff, and it gives you a flavor of what she wants to do to America. San Francisco is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. If you've been there, you drive into the city, it's beautiful. Driving away is beautiful. And the city has just gone to nothing. Storefronts are empty, people walking on the street like zombies, drugs, can't wear open-toe shoes. And do I like to say that about my home state of California? Absolutely not. But it is what we have. And I tell people, just look at San Francisco. It is what they do. And let's not forget, all of Californians' political power from the Democrat side has come from San Francisco. Dianne Feinstein, Jerry Brown, Willie Brown, yep. Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, Barbara Boxer. It's all San Francisco. And now all of a sudden, Jeff, she knows that that doesn't play well on a national basis. Mm-hmm. She certainly knows that it doesn't play well in the swing states. Yep. So let's change who we are, Jeff. Let's just do it overnight. It's what's going on. And I want people to take a little time. Don't believe me. Just go online and look at San Francisco, what's happened. And it's all calm. Crime?
Yep.
Jeff, in California, you can steal $950, no problem. Now, I'm not saying it's just no problem. It's a misdemeanor, but they won't book you because you're out in a minute or two. Mm-hmm. So it takes 3-4 hours to book somebody. It takes 3 minutes to get out. But you can steal $950 in California, and if you don't get caught, Jeff, go to the next store, get another $950.
Yeah.
And if you don't get caught, go to the next one. People don't believe it, or they don't. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it's what we're living in California, Jeff, with Kamala Harris.
I'll tell you something, Abel. I see stories, I see images from San Francisco of stores where I guess longer than that, 15, 20 years ago when I was out there, where I used to shop, when Heidi and I lived out there and the boys were little, and we would shop in those stores, and now there are rows of stores in the city, and it's a beautiful city, that are shut down. And here's the weirdest part about it. My oldest boy recently graduated from Stanford, and he is now living and working in San Francisco. Sadly, I failed miserably because he's a far left wing lunatic. But there's hope because he's complaining to me about how expensive things are, how difficult it is to buy things from the store because they're all locked up, that there are people living on the streets. And while he's not ready to admit it, man, this is what the vice president, I suppose, wants to do to the rest of America.
100%, Jeff. I mean, to go into a store and get an $8, $9 bottle of lotion, yep. It's locked up. You have to wait till somebody comes in and locks it. I can understand where your son's coming from. It's happening with everything. Lotion, you go to a parts store, you go to Lowe's, anywhere. Yep. And you know, like you said, this weekend, Laura, my wife, walks in the house. She says, Abel, I just came back from McDonald's. I can't believe it's $46 for a couple of sausage and egg McMuffins. It's what it is. And gas is $5.49 in California. And right now they're on the bus. I think they're in Georgia. Mm-hmm. I like to call it the Inflation Express because they should be touting what she's done.
Yeah.
I mean, she's caused inflation everywhere. People can't. I mean, and then, you know, at the convention, they kept hearing they don't want to go back. They don't want, we're not going back. Well, let me tell you what back was. Low inflation, low gas prices, low interest rates, low unemployment, low crime, no wars, rising wages. I want to go back, Jeff. I want to go back.
I'm right there with you. We're gonna have to jockey for who gets to go first. I'm right there. Absolutely. Did you even see she's apparently scrubbed some stuff on her resume? So instead of on her site, I believe on the website, instead of saying she grew up in Berkeley, it now says she grew up in the East Bay. And I have to think there was a focus group somewhere that said, geez, Berkeley doesn't play well if you're campaigning in Pennsylvania.
Right. And she's born in Oakland. I mean, here in California, we have a hamburger chain called In-N-Out Burger. They've only closed one store ever. One store. Guess where it was? Oakland, California. And the reason they closed it, they said, we're afraid for our customers to go into our restaurant. And it's Oakland. And, you know, at the convention, I saw the convention speech, and I saw her video, and it did show where she grew up in Oakland. Yeah. And it looked like a really nice, the street was clean, but go look at that street today. I mean, let's go back and look at what you really got, what's there today. It's really, really crime. I mean, we must never forget, she was for sanctuary cities.
Yes.
She is a sanctuary district attorney. Yep. And if she could, she would have made the state. And if she can, she'll make it our country. Immigration, she opened the floodgates to the border, Jeff. Yep. And she's the border czar. Who does that? But since she doesn't care, Joe Biden put her in that position. They don't care. Look what's happening today in Colorado. Jeff, look what happened yesterday in San Diego, the Humboldt School District in San Diego. 20 illegal immigrants jumped in a school bus?
It's outrageous.
And it's okay.
You couldn't, honest to goodness, I need to remind everybody, and I apologize for that. Abel Maldonado is joining us. Abel served in the California State Senate. He served as the lieutenant governor. I think you kind of made your bones in Santa Maria, right? You started
That's
with the barbecue,
correct,
and you went from there because it's a very different type of barbecue that nobody understands. But you've been around the block, my friend. You've seen this, and what she promises to do is to, I guess I would say, Californianize the rest of America. The problems with gas, you're talking about $5.50, $6 for a gallon of gas. And if you do go and get an electric vehicle, my son's telling me he gets it all the time. He doesn't have one, but he hears in the Bay Area leadership, whether it's Newsom or somebody else, is saying, oh, well, don't plug it in tonight because the grid's not ready. You know, we got too many. So what are they? They just want you to be locked in your house.
Yes, don't use power this week, or it gets even better yet. You know, she's got this notion on one of her financial incentives is price gouging. She's saying, we're going to go after I'm a farmer, Jeff. Yes. You're going to tell me what I can sell my avocados for, Kamala Harris? Absolutely not. Right. But she did, guess what she did here? They got together, they said, we're going to give California a special blend. We're going to overtax Chevron of California. We're going to overregulate Chevron of California. And then when Chevron increased their price, she said, we're going to come after. She sued him for price gouging, by the way. And then so guess what happened 2 weeks ago, Jeff? Chevron of California is no longer here. They left to Houston, Texas. So it doesn't work. This gouging doesn't work. And you know, when she sued Chevron, she sued Chevron in Pennsylvania. So she went after the gas stations over there.
Yep.
Kamala, and you know, right now she's in this process of evolving. And I can understand if you want to evolve on an issue, I guess, but she's evolving on everything.
Yeah.
Because she knows her San Francisco politics, Jeff, just doesn't work in the swing states.
Yeah.
And if you're an independent, you're on the fence, this is really an easy election for all of us because we've lived under Kamala Harris and we've lived under Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, we lived better. We were safer.
Yes.
No wars. We had, I mean,
yep.
And I look at my state, Jeff, and you've been, your son's here. We have it all here. Why would people leave?
That's
one reason, the government, Kamala Harris.
That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, they're gone to, I went to introduce J.D. Vance in Reno the other day. I think half the people in the audience were Californians who said to me after the speech, they said, Abel, can California be fixed? I said, how can we fix it? You left us.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, they're gone, and so many more want to leave, but they just can't afford to leave because of Kamala Harris.
Well, and what a problem that is. Now, you mentioned you're a farmer. That's your family's operation.
Yep.
It's been a while. What did go through your mind when you heard the vice president? And remember, first you said it was price gauging, and I thought, well, that's okay because everybody gauges their prices, right? I mean, but she sadly didn't mean that.
I was actually shocked that she wanted to go out there and go after Kroger and A&P and Albertsons and instead of making it easy for the farmer and for the chain store and lowering the price for the consumer, in her mind, let's just go after the chain store who will eventually go after the farmer, who will eventually go after the farm worker. She just has no clue. And I hate to say this because personally she was my attorney general, but the lights are on, but no one's home, my friend. And that's why she's taking Waltz over to this debate, to this question thing tonight. I mean, when you're running for city council or school board, and if you're in Los Banos, California, you're running for a mosquito board, you talk to people. She's taking somebody with her tonight on her first interview? Really?
You know, I'm
really. You want to be the leader of the free world, Jeff? You want to be the president of the U.S. and you have to take somebody just in case you stutter. Have him come in and kind of clean house. And don't get me started on Tim Walz. He's a fake.
Well,
I mean, we're farmers here. We're farmers here in California,
yes,
Jeff. And we look back and we the other day I was talking to some farmers and one guy says to me, he says, "Look, Abel, if you wear boots, jeans, a Carhartt jacket and a camouflage hat, you don't put tampon in fourth grade boys' restrooms."
Right. Boom. Mic drop, as some of our folks would say, right? That's exactly.
You just don't, Jeff. You just don't.
Oh, my God.
They're fake. It's a fake. And they're getting away with it. I can't wait for the debate because Donald J. Trump will be very good. He will be himself. She'll be exposed.
Yep.
And you know what? People in California are nervous. We're nervous here, Jeff. We're nervous because we're so indoctrinated in California. We've lost for so long that we're afraid of losing our country. And we're just, every day we wake up, we just pray that the swing states see who she is and say, we're not going to go down that path. We're not going to go the California way. Because if California was great, her theme song would be California Dreamin'. And it's not.
What a great point. Abel, you know, I could chat with you forever because I've always admired you. I've always appreciated.
Thank you, Jeff, so much.
I'm hoping that we can get you back if you can free up some time. And please tell me that President Trump has whispered in your ear and said, hey, keep some space open because I'm going to need a Secretary of Agriculture. And there's nobody better in America than Abel Maldonado.
I'll tell you something, Jeff. First of all, number one, yes, I'll come back on your show whenever you'd like me to. And number two, we've got 70 days. It's 24/7, all hands on deck.
Yes,
and
sir.
Please don't stop, Jeff. We need every vote is going to count here. this is the election of my life. And I know it's the cliche, this is the most important election. No. This is the election of my life because my country cannot go San Francisco's way. It just cannot.
Absolutely. Abel, I love you, brother. I thank you for being
here. I love you too, my friend.
I'll look forward to chatting again soon. That is one of the finest people that I've ever known. Abel Maldonado served in the California State Senate. He served as the lieutenant governor of California. I am sorry to say he was the last Republican ever to serve in that post. He is a farmer. He's a second-generation farmer. He understands getting dirty. He understands meeting payrolls. And he understands exactly who Vice President Kamala Harris really is. And she's a fake. 417, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 423, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. We've got some Skinner tickets to give away, do we not? We'll do that at 520-ish. Yeah, Skinner to the Beach is what I'm calling it. I don't know if they're calling it that, but it's what I'm calling it. Leonard Skinner, who does one heck of a show, coming to the Veterans United Home Loans Amphitheater out in Virginia Beach on September the 7th. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets at 520-ish. By the way, if you're looking at the long weekend, it's looking nice. It's not going to be overly hot. I mean, it'll be toasty. It's going to be 89. But looks like after tomorrow, we're pretty clear. Maybe some afternoon showers on Sunday. But otherwise, it should be pretty nice that you and I will, I hope, be able to get out and enjoy it. So, Old Home Week with Abel Maldonado, the former lieutenant governor out there in California. Well, I got another buddy of mine who was a member of Congress up in Minnesota, Jason Lewis. And Jason is going to join us at 4:33. Abel was providing the inside scoop on exactly who our vice president is. And he said she's a phony. She's an absolute, complete, and total phony. Well, what about Tim Walz? Former Congressman Jason Lewis will give us that information at 4:33. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 4:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve, and a couple of hours from now, there's going to be a sit-down interview. No, that's not true. No, hold on a second. I got to correct myself. A couple of hours from now, there's going to be a television show that was recorded earlier today. And it features as the stars Dana Bash from CNN and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, and in a special guest appearance, I guess playing the part of the wacky neighbor, is our not ready for primetime Vice President Kamala Harris. So, okay, what are they going to say? Now, you and I have reviewed the questions, of course, we thought should be asked. You and I both know that's not going to happen. CNN had to agree, I guarantee you, to certain rules to get this. This is being billed as the first interview. I think it's insane. Why does the vice president need to take somebody? It's like an emotional support animal. You know, one of these people gets on the plane with a wild turkey. Oh, it's my emotional support animal. Helps me get through things. I mean, isn't that what it's reduced to? Or a shoulder to cry on? Or somebody to play interference? I don't know. But we hear all these bizarre, twisted things about this Walz character. And I got to tell you, Jason Lewis, who was a former member of Congress in Minnesota, knows a thing or two about Walz because Jason actually was running for the U.S. Senate while Tim Walz was telling everybody in that whole...
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hide under your beds. Don't even think about going outside. And I'm happy to say he's joining us. It's been forever. Former member of Congress, one of the great talk show hosts in America before that as well, Jason Lewis. Jason, thanks for being here.
Hey, Jeff. Good to hear your voice again.
Oh, it's good to hear yours, my friend. You,
it's been a while.
Good or ill, know an awful lot about this Tim Walz character.
Well, I sure do. He tried to lock down my campaign to the point where in 2020 I had to sue him. You had a situation in Minnesota where the streets were being ruled by arsonists and thugs, and the Walz, and Walz admitted this later, as I point out in my book, Party Animal, that I decided not to engage because he didn't want to get on the wrong side of DEI, even if it meant burning down 1,500 buildings, letting the 3rd Police Precinct go to a bunch of looters and arsonists, and changing the fabric and the really the feel on the ground in Minnesota permanently. It has never been the same since Walls let it burn and Kamala Harris tried to bail out the people who burned it with the Minnesota Freedom Fund. So everything that has destroyed Minnesota, and they will lose a congressional seat in a couple of years. They should have lost one in 2020 had it not been for the shenanigans of the Census Bureau, which the Census Bureau, by the way, admitted after the fact that they overcounted blue states. But people are fleeing Minnesota because of this. And this guy, if he ever gets the reins of power nationally, I'm afraid Americans won't have any place to run the way they are getting out of Minnesota for Arizona and Florida and even Virginia, I suppose.
Absolutely. We've got a number of people who have relocated. I mean, the positive part is that some of us have learned more about, Lucy Goosey's or whatever the burgers are, which is very nice. But, you know, the horror stories coming out from there. And most of us, we got to be honest, Jason, Minnesota is a place that most of us are not thinking about. Oh, that they had that Jesse Ventura for a while. They must be kind of crazy up there with Al Franken and the rest of it. But, I mean, there are some really good, solid people. Hell, you were elected to Congress a couple of times, which tells me there were some good, solid people in Minnesota.
Well, it's not unlike any other state that has a one major urban core that governs the entire state, despite what the rest of the state wants. I mean, you get outside the Beltway in Virginia, it's a totally different a feel. You go to eastern Colorado or even on the front, on the slope over to Grand Junction, it's totally different than Denver, Oregon, New York City compared to upstate New York. And the same is true in Minnesota, where a greater Minnesota is completely red, but the urban core, Minneapolis and St. Paul, is dominated by the greatest collection of misfits since the Star Wars bar scene. And it's not changing anytime soon, unfortunately. But I will tell you, the crime rate in Minneapolis is still 20% higher today than it was in 2019. That is how fundamental the defund the police movement, of which Walls embraced, and both of my congressional opponents, by the way, they have destroyed the state. It's a tragedy, really, because my mother was born in North Minneapolis, and she wouldn't recognize the place now.
Incredible. Jason Lewis is joining us. Jason, former member of Congress, just a brilliant guy. Book, you mentioned Party Animal. We should spend a couple of moments on that, Jason, because I want people to get it. Give us a little insight. What's in the book, and where can we order it?
Well, once I got to Congress, I was elected with Donald Trump in 2016 to the 115th Congress. Right. And right from the get-go, I saw what the deep state, especially the FISA court, with a secret court unleashing unconstitutional wiretaps on a sitting president and his campaign team before and after the election, by the way. And I went over to the Intel Committee and viewed the so-called intelligence, and it was a joke. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there going, this is it? So I started keeping notes. I cannot believe what's going on out here. So I started keeping notes. Well, lo and behold, Jeff, after the 2018 reelection and or failure to get reelected, I was running for the Senate in Minnesota, and I just kept the notes going. Now I'm in the midst of a COVID lockdown for everyone except rioters. They locked down the Trump campaign in Minnesota, locked down my campaign. The attorney general was suing rodeos because they thought they were too red. We had to sue them. So I wrote a chapter in Party Animal, The Truth About President Trump, Power Politics, and the Partisan Press, called Who Lost Minnesota? Okay. It's chapter 4 in the book. And if you want to know everything you need to know about Tim Walz, read that chapter. Because what he did during COVID, some people may forgive him for, but I will never. Minnesota had one of the highest nursing home death rates in the country, second only to New York, I believe, because Walz deliberately took people out of the hospital, COVID positive, and put them in congregated living facilities while he was telling everybody else who's alone in their car to wear 3 masks. Right. It was insanity. Ugh. It was really a virtue signaling sign by Tim Walz saying, if I can get these people to obey my commands now, I've got them.
Well,
that's what happened.
You know, that's as close as he gets to that command sergeant major rank in reality, right?
Yeah, yeah, except he wasn't.
Yeah.
Right. It was really terrifying. But then it got worse. So then the Democrats take control of the Minnesota State House, a trifecta. They've got the legislative, judicial, and the executive branch of government. And the first thing they do is pass a trans refuge bill that, contrary to the wishes of a parent, allowed a minor to come to Minnesota and be surgically operated on, get puberty blockers, and if the parents object, well, they'd be damned. And that's the you had a lieutenant governor, Walz's lieutenant governor, Peggy Flanagan, who is certifiably crazy, wearing a trans T-shirt with a knife on it. And I don't know what that's supposed to signify, but she did it at the signing ceremony. So it would become a transgender refugee state, then the most liberal abortion law in the country, regardless of where you feel on that issue. This allowed abortion, taxpayer-funded abortion, for birth control purposes through the ninth month. I don't care where people are, that's extreme.
That's right.
Then they spent an $18 billion surplus in the state that's already the fifth highest tax in the country, raised taxes by another $10 billion, and then increased the biennial budget by 38% in one cycle.
30?
Without any tax relief. 38% in one cycle.
All right, I'll bite, Jason. What the hell were they buying?
Well, I tell you, they were buying votes, of course, yeah, primarily in public education, which Walz then put in an ethnic studies curriculum that would make, oh, goodness gracious, make the SDS blush. But I will tell you, it is living proof that Minnesota hasn't won the war on drugs, Jeff. It is being governed by a bunch of lunatics. And that's what Walz brings to this ticket, and that's why he feels so comfortable around Kamala.
Yeah.
They are two peas in a pod.
It is tragic. Let me remind everybody that Jason Lewis is joining us. And Jason, former member of Congress, an amazingly talented broadcaster. I think financial planning was the background. The book is called Party Animal. It's over at Amazon. I'm going to put the links up for that everywhere. Now, Jason, for some of us, the first time we heard of this Tim Walz character, we heard of his nickname, yep, Tampon Tim, trying to figure that out. Yep. You want to explain to everybody why he's got that moniker?
Well, that was part of the radicalization of K-12 in Minnesota and the transgender refugee status bill. Being a sanctuary state wasn't good enough. They wanted to be a sanctuary for... Think about this for just a second. You've got someone who's confused going through adolescence, who is a minor by a legal minor, I should say, which means they have not achieved the wisdom that comes with maturity to make rational decisions. We don't let them drive a car. We don't let them sign contracts. We don't let them vote. But Walz insisted, without an age requirement, that they can come to Minnesota from Virginia and get a sex change operation when they're 12. Now, who does this? But they did it in Minnesota, and part of that process of being friendly to the trans community, mm-hmm, was putting tampons in boys' restrooms in case, I'm not certain what, in case somebody was thinking about transitioning, or what used to be a female is now a male going to, it. No one could figure it out, but it just signifies how radical this clown is.
That is outrageous.
But it's worse. He's worse than clownish, Jeff.
Yeah.
He is drunk with power, and nothing more so than the COVID. The worst lockdowns in the country. I am telling you, you had restaurants in Minnesota in 2020 that were trying to set up tents outside with heat furnaces or mini heat furnaces because Walz had locked them out. He had destroyed the entire state. But all the while, he was letting rioters go free.
Yep.
He would refuse to call in the National Guard for 3 days while Minneapolis burned because he didn't want to get on the wrong side of the DEI crowd. Wow. And he had his attorney general sick, the law on anything that might smack of a red state rally. And all the while, by the way, all the while, the country was suffering. Minnesota was suffering to a degree you can't possibly imagine. Anxiety was rising, suicide ideation, you name it. I don't know how you forgive somebody for that.
I don't think you can, Jason. I don't think you can, and I don't think you should. If there were a series of mistakes made where somebody says, boy, I just don't know what this COVID was doing. We took precautionary measures, and, you know, and in retrospect, that was wrong. I suppose that's one thing. But what you've described here is just flat out evil. This is about punishing people that they want punished on the left, and it's about saying to those people who are burning your city of Minneapolis, go ahead, guys, have at it. We'll figure it out when it's all done.
And worse than that, they used a public health challenge, and look, in hindsight, that's all it was, a challenge. The seasonal flu was more deadly to school children.
Yep.
But they used a public health challenge to shut down the state for political advantage, and by that I mean the Secretary of State, Steve Simon, another DFLer, Democrat from Minnesota, he decided to do what liberals are doing everywhere in the Secretary of State and AG world, and that is, you know what, I'm going to usurp the power of the legislative branch by getting a liberal activist group to sue my office.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to sign a consent decree with that group, mm-hmm. not show up to defend state law, and then that, by summary judgment, becomes law.
Right.
They did that with traditional marriage in California when the AG refused to literally defend state law there. So Simon had a bunch of these liberal groups say, oh, gosh, deadlines for mail-in ballots, we can't have those. Wouldn't the signatures? Oh, can't have those. And don't imagine that you need to show up on election day and prove your citizenship. Can't have that. And so all of these laws came about through consent decree signed by the Secretary of State. And many of them are still in place for 2024.
Oh, gosh. It's incredible. And here you were. You're running for U.S. Senate, and you said you had to sue. So what happened? Did you ever get into a courtroom? Did anything ever shake out on the front?
We did. We sued. I think, looking back on it, I probably made a strategic mistake. I should have sued based on the due process clause, that they could not deny liberty the way they use it to strike down all sorts of state law, which, by the way, I think is somewhat specious, but it's been the precedent. We tried to make a claim over privileges and immunities that, indeed, the lockdowns were denying people of their constitutional liberty to freedom of association, for me to campaign, for all the rest. And naturally, a district court judge, don't hold your breath, ruled in the opposite. So we didn't get far. But I just felt I had to do it, and I write about the case in the book, Farting Animal, of course.
Well, I want people to get it. If it's all right with you, I'm going to get my social media director to put it up in my my online bookstore so that people can get it there. They go to Amazon.
Sure.
Party Animal. Chapter 4 is the one I guess everybody should take a look at immediately. Don't read it in order. Go to Chapter 4, Who Lost Minnesota. What are you expecting from your former governor and our vice president this evening?
Well, look, I think, and it may backfire, by the way, because Walz's impersonation of Tommy Boy is starting to wear a little thin already, I suspect. And I just who knows what's going to happen when you've got, you know, three people. Now, a huge problem in America is the state-run media. It is very, very hard to get through the cacophony of these press offices, Democrat press offices disguised as journalists.
Right.
So something's got to be done long term from that. But I think the honeymoon is over. I think if the Trump campaign and the Unity Party with Tulsi Gabbard and Bobby Kennedy and J.D. Vance can just stay focused on the issues and get through the media lie. I mean, this is a group of so-called journalists, Jeff, who lied about Russian collusion, who lied about Hunter's laptop, who lied about COVID. But now they're telling us Kamala Harris was not part of the Biden administration, and she's a moderate. And what's the problem here? I mean, you got to be kidding me. So at some point, it's got to change. And if, by the way, if folks want more on a weekly basis, they can go to jasonlewis.substack, too, where I write a newsletter, and the last couple have been on Walz.
Oh, all right. Well, give that site one more time, would you, Jason?
Yeah, that's jasonlewis.substack.com.
Okay.
And we've got a nice newsletter there in addition to the book. After I was done with Party Animal, I just wanted to continue basically what I laid down there, and that's what we've done with Substack. So everything you could ever want to know about Jim Walz is the good, bad, and the ugly without the good.
Fair enough. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to share it on all of our social media platforms. If you're amenable, I'd love to reach out to you again, get you back on, talk about some other issues as well.
Anytime, Jeff. Great to hear your voice. Glad you're knocking them dead in Richmond. Keep at it, buddy.
Thank you, brother. That is Jason Lewis. Jason is really a solid dude, and I'm so happy that he's got the Substack newsletter now. The book is called Party Animal. I'll get all that up on our social media, so you can take a gander at that and sign up for it. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:53, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Don't use that TH word. I'm just telling you, it feels better if you say Friday Eve, put you another day closer to the weekend. By the way, the weather for the extended weekend actually looks pretty good. It really does. Sunday afternoon, there might be some rain rolling through, but otherwise, it should be toasty, like 89, and partly cloudy. So it might be a good couple of days to get out and enjoy yourself a little bit. At least that's my hope. Berkeley, as I mentioned to Abel Maldonado, the former lieutenant governor of California, has been officially scrubbed from the official Vice President Kamala Harris's life story, as has Canada. It's so bizarre. I mean, it's just weird. That's all. Front page of the New York Times this past, was it Sunday? Yeah, I think it was Sunday. Last Sunday, they did a front page story about her. And they pointed out that the official video at the convention said that she spent her childhood in the East Bay. Well, that's not really true. She spent her childhood in Berkeley and in Montreal. Reporters for the New York Times said that her mother was, quote, steeped in the social activism in both Berkeley and Oakland, and they told readers that the word Berkeley went missing earlier in her career when she ran for attorney general. Now, that's an interesting thing. That she, because you're running for attorney general, I know you've got a staff, but you don't have a staff like you're the vice president or the president or the governor. So that means that she said to somebody, hey, ditch that mention of Berkeley. Ditch that mention of Oakland. Let's not talk about how I grew up for a large segment of my life in Montreal, Canada. Now, I don't know why you would take it out, but she's taking it out. It's bizarre. Hey, I tell you what, we're not going to take out Lynyrd Skynyrd tickets. We got Skynyrd at the Beach tickets September the 7th. Lynyrd Skynyrd is coming to Virginia Beach. You get a chance to win those tickets coming up at 5:20-ish. It is 4:56. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.